Hello and welcome into the KE Report. I'm Shad Markwich, your host, and I'm chatting today with Jordan Roybern, editor and publisher of The Daily Gold. Well, Jordan, it's always great having you on the show. At least we've got a little bit of a bright spot this week with a continued bump up in the precious metals, gold and silver up again today. Silver's up a little bit more than gold, but gold is still at 1784. Nothing to really write home about because it's not even above the $1,800 level. What do you make of the recent rise, and do you think this is the beginning of something more substantial, or is this just a relief rally from really oversold conditions?
I tend to think this is a relief rally from oversold conditions, but that being said, with respect to the stocks, they were extremely oversold. So if you look at points when the gold stocks were extremely oversold, even from 2013 to 2015, they had some pretty good rallies in percentage terms. So, I mean, it can be a relief rally, but it definitely could be a big one. Gold has, I would say, initial resistance at 1800 and then also resistance 1830, 1835. So those are pretty important levels. And, you know, the stocks are outperforming the metals, or the gold stocks are outperforming gold. We have to keep in mind, over the last several months, the gold stocks have badly underperformed gold. So the fact that they're outperforming now, I think, is part of that relief rally. And so to me, it's not that much of a surprise that the miners are making pretty good moves in percentage terms, even though gold hasn't really done that much. But I think it's all going to come back to how gold performs at 1800. And also if it's able to rally and reach 1830, 1835. So those are key levels.
Yeah, it's interesting that gold really isn't doing much. And if you'd fallen asleep for a couple months and woken back up, it's really kind of at the same place it's been. As you pointed out, though, Jordan, the miners really tanked, and they took it in the shorts a lot harder than the metal did. And this just may be an oversold bounce in the miners gaining on gold and getting a little traction from being very oversold. Do you think it's significant at all that the precious metals are rallying, though, where the interest rates really aren't moving up much?
I just took a look at TLT right as you started recording, and I guess it's down the last couple of days. It's interesting because we had a couple really big moves, I think, last week, and I noticed that those 2 days the interest rates were down. So that's one issue, I think, for the precious metals, is if we do see some kind of rebound in bond yields and a sell-off in bonds, if that could put some pressure on precious metals as they're trying to rally. So that's something to keep in mind. In other words, if we see another leg higher in bond yields, and you know that coincides with the stock market making a new high, which it's really close to doing, and then we see odds of a rate hike continue to rise, I'm just wondering if we see that trend reasserting itself, if that is going to prevent gold from getting through 1800 here. It's just a question I'm asking myself, as we talk about intermarket analysis. That's just my concern. I mean, we see the stock market is really close to making another new high. And I mean, it's just, if this is the start of a big sustainable move in precious metals, I'm just a little skeptical that that's going to happen while the stock market is making new highs.
Yeah, it's definitely something to consider, because a lot of people were thinking that we finally were going to get that rollover in the general markets. And once again, the dip was bought. And if there's a risk off scenario where everybody is bidding up the more speculative assets, then it really won't be until risk is on where the bonds and gold and some of the safe havens shine a little bit. The dollar is a little bit weaker this last week or two. It's back down to 93.60. It was up around 94.60, 94.70 last week. So do you think that's giving a little boost to the precious metals as well? Just the weakness in the dollar helping as a tailwind?
Definitely. It's definitely helping the sector. But, I mean, it's still above the long-term moving averages. Still, the price action moving outside of the short term still looks bullish to me. And when I look at what's going on in macro land and I look at history, that rate hike, the dollar tends to peak around the start of rate hikes. It actually happened last cycle. We saw it in the end of 2015. And then the dollar made another move, and it made a subsequent peak, I think, December 2016, and then it had that big decline in 2017. I mean, you can look at, because the Fed did that hike, and then they stopped for a year, which is really unusual. So you could look at the start of hikes as really the end of 2016 there. I mean, that's just the most recent example. So that, to me, it just lends more credence to my rate hike theory. So, yeah, I mean, it's easy to get excited about this move in precious metals and the dollar has come off, but I just, looking further out, I just don't see anything that's changed that's telling me, you know, the dollar put in a significant peak a couple weeks ago. I'm just skeptical of that view.
Well, let's just look slightly further out to November. We've got a Fed meeting coming up, and we say this every time, but all eyes are on the Fed, all eyes are on Jerome Powell. The real question is going to be, if they start to taper, or they do they not to start to taper? That's what the market wants to see. And my question is, do you think that if they kick the can down the road, that could be something that would underpin some strength in the precious metals if they admitted they couldn't taper yet? And then the converse of that, if they do start tapering in November as scheduled or December, could that pressure the precious metals?
Yes, I think if they push off the tapering, that would probably help precious metals, but I don't know to what degree. And at the same time, I do think if they commit to raising rates fairly soon, but then doing the taper as scheduled, I mean, that could pressure precious metals, especially because if they continue to rally, which I think it's possible they have some more upside here, if they go into that meeting short-term overbought, you know, then they're vulnerable to a negative reaction. So to me, it's always, what's the positioning of the sector going into the meeting? I mean, I always like when they're kind of oversold going into the meeting, because then you know there's never any, or there's less of a chance you're going to get a big dump after the meeting. So I would just say, pay attention to the positioning and technicals of the market going into the meeting. But yes, I do think if they, you know, recommit to tapering and say, yeah, we're on track to raise rates, I think that could hit the sector, especially if it's, you know, short-term overbought going into the meeting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the precious metals do over the next 2 weeks going into that meeting. And if they go in a little overbought, that is a risk that they'll carry going into that meeting, that there could be a knee-jerk reaction to the downside. One other question I have, Jordan, is silver. It really has been outperforming gold the last, you know, week or two. It's had a pretty good move. It's back up to having a 24 handle again. It was getting into some dangerous territory down there at 2150 and 22. A lot of people thought if it had gotten any weaker, it would have opened up a door down to 19, maybe 1850. Do you think silver is out of the danger zone? And do you take anything away from the fact that it's been outperforming gold along with the miners? And generally, when we see silver and the miners outperform gold, that is a more bullish scenario for the sector.
Yeah, to me, I actually see two reasons why silver should outperform gold. First, commodity prices are rising. And so if commodities continue to show strength and inflation expectations remain sticky, that's an environment where silver should outperform gold. And at the same time, if we're just comparing the COTs and the net spec positions in gold and silver, silver coming off this low, silver's net spec position, it's much lower than gold's. So there's less speculation in silver. I know that sounds odd to say, because silver usually tends to have more speculation. But so that's another second positive factor for silver. I mean, technically, I think there's the 200-day moving average is somewhere in the mid to upper 25. So we have silver just reaching the mid 24s today. So I think silver does have some more upside. So, I mean, given those factors, you know, silver can outperform gold over the near term. But at the same time, you know, commodities have had a really strong move. So we do have to be a little careful about thinking, you know, commodities are just going to continue to rise and there's not going to be any correction. I mean, if commodity prices make some kind of an interim peak soon, that would obviously be more bullish for gold relative to silver. So I'm sorry to not be definitive, but that's really the situation. I mean, it depends on inflation expectations and commodity prices. If they continue to rise, remain firm, silver should outperform gold, and positioning tells you that as well. But if there's some kind of reversal to that trend, then silver could underperform gold again.
Yeah, so silver being a little more tethered to the commodity sector than gold as a hybrid metal. There's no doubt that copper's been on a run, oil's been on a run, zinc's been on a run. Man, most of the metals have been on a run. And the question is, Jordan, is that because of inflation? Is it because the dollar started rolling over? Is there a demand? I mean, I know each commodity, you could look at it separately for their own demand fundamentals, but is it a China factor? Could China be a factor in slowing it down? What do you think is going to be the main driver of the commodity sector in general as we move forward?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think thus far the driver has been economic recovery and more optimism about the end of COVID and growth. I think that's been the driver. Because when you see oil and copper and base metals, as you know, when you see them all moving up like that, that's more of an economic situation than inflation. I mean, if we saw oil was one of the only commodities moving up, you know, oil was up there kind of leading and gold was performing a lot better. I mean, that would be more a worry about inflation. I mean, with respect to oil and base metals, I mean, at some point, you know, those could be, it's like they say, you know, high prices is the cure for high prices. I would just be careful about getting too bullish on oil and copper. I mean, they've had really good moves, and I have some skepticism that, you know, how much longer can they really outperform without those high prices having a negative economic impact? And I mean, we talked about it last week, but, you know, when those high prices persist and cause economic damage, that's when gold will outperform again. So that's my thinking. You know, how much longer can copper and oil like sustain these relatively high prices?
Yeah, it's a good question. And as you mentioned, to some degree, silver's fate will be tethered to that action in the commodity sector and whether it continues to rally in a commodity super cycle or whether it's just getting a little overbought and is due for a correction. One more final thought here, Jordan, and that is on our beleaguered mining sector, on the gold miners, do you have any thoughts on support or resistance levels for either GDX or GDXJ? A lot of people follow those indexes as a marker of where the miners are going. Any thoughts on support and resistance levels?
Sure. Yeah, I would look at the 200-day, 400-day moving averages and also some Fibonacci retracements. I mean, I think you could see conservatively they could retrace 50% of the decline. I mean, perhaps they could retrace 40% or a little bit more than that. But I think if you look at the moving averages, GDXJ, there's quite a bit of resistance at 47, 48. So 47 is one potential target I would keep in mind. For GDX, I would look at 35 and maybe 36. So I think there's a little bit more room to run here and that they're going to continue, at least for a couple days, to outperform the metals. One question I have is if they can reach those 47, 35, 36 targets with gold only going to 1,800. So that's about 1% upside for gold right now. You know, maybe gold could go a little bit above 1,800. You know, or looking at the weekly chart, you know, perhaps gold can, climb up to, I don't know, 1,815, 1,820. So, you know, that's maybe 2.5% for gold. I mean, that can give you another 6 or 7% in the mining indices. But obviously, for anything really significant in the sector, we need to see gold rally up to the 1830s and then break above that level, 1835. Like a weekly close above 1835 would be really significant.
Well, we'll keep tabs on those levels, Jordan. Thanks for sharing that with us. We'll see how the precious metals themselves do over the next week or two going into that Fed meeting, and more importantly, if the mining stocks can keep their upward momentum going and if they get up to some of those higher resistance levels you mentioned. Could be a nice tradable rally for folks that are already positioned, and look forward to meeting with you again next week to see where things are at. So thanks, Jordan, for coming on the KE Report and spending a few moments of your time and your wisdom with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.